Welcome to this episode of the Carnes Connection. I'm Brian Carnes, and I aim to inspire educators from all levels to step away from the one-size-fits-all classroom as I demonstrate how the use of technology can help with this transition. Thanks for joining me. Hey, everyone. Welcome back into this episode of Carnes Connection. So today we are going to talk a little bit about a necessary topic, school safety. So today in the Coachella Valley Unified School District, we are taking an in-service day, and our teachers are part of their professional development today is learning about school safety, how we can be safe on campus, how we can have a safe learning environment for our students, and how we can just provide that safe learning environment or that safe space for our students throughout the school year. We all know that schools can be scary places sometimes these days, and it's necessary to have a plan of action if something needs to happen or needs to take place, and even more so, there needs to be a focused level of support at each school site and at each district level. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about what is being done here in the district about school safety. We're going to talk a little bit about other topics like suicide prevention and bullying prevention. And it's going to be a little bit heavier of an episode today, but it's an important episode, and it's something that, like I said, just kind of goes right along with what we're doing for our professional development, our district-wide professional development today with our teachers. So you might be asking, why is it so important to spend a day focused on school safety and how we can prevent some unfortunate events from happening? Research shows that since Columbine in 1999, there have been over 275 school shootings. Yeah, I'm going to pause for effect there. 275 school shootings since 1999. Schools around the nation have faced the following violence on a regular basis: fighting and assault, bullying, victimization, sexual attacks, theft or robbery, classroom disorders, use of weapons, and violent crimes. Those things happen on our schools on a daily basis, and it's important for us to have a plan of action. It's important for us to know how to handle, how to prevent, and how to, in many cases, how to get in front of a lot of these from happening. You know, too often these days we are playing catch up when we really could have been being proactive and being preventative. And today we're going to talk a little bit again about just how can we be proactive, how can we be preventative. We're going to talk about some of the programs that we use here in our district to really stay on top of that. You know, lockdown drills, lockdown prevention drills have become commonplace in our public and private schools across the nation these years. And it's important that we practice what it is we're trying to prevent. Because God forbid there be an intruder on campus, we as a school need to know what to do. I remember back when I was in the classroom with my students, we at least once a year we would have a lockdown drill or an intruder drill. And, you know, it meant that at the time what I would do is close all my windows and blinds, and I would have my students sit up against the wall underneath those windows as far so that you couldn't be seen from any window, stay away from the doors. And we made sure that all the doors were locked And the students needed to be as silent as possible when we were doing that. And even though it was a drill, I'd be lying if I didn't tell you, it was a little bit of a scary experience sometimes. You used to really think about, you know, what could happen, you know, especially as I grew my own family and got married and started having kids and, you know, just the thoughts of this is scary. This is reality. And, you know, it's like I said, they're, you know, these drills are common. And it's a good thing that they're common in a way. Not that we have to have them, but it's good that they're common because we're preparing for, and if there is an unfortunate event, you know, along with fire drills, you know, schools have been conducting lockdown drills since Columbine. So again, that's 1999. So Columbine really kind of started this whole process and really started schools and school districts thinking about what do we need to do to keep our students safe, our students and our teachers and just our staff members. What do we need to do? You know, that was the first time that we really saw evil at its best on you know, on school sites, and we are trying to get ahead of that as much as we can here at the district at CVU Unified. You know, 33 states require every school or school district to have safety plans. So unfortunately, not all states, but 33 states require every school or school district to at least have a safety plan, which is good. You know, again, if you don't have a plan, if there's trouble coming, you don't know how to react and you don't know how to handle it. 2/3 of schools in the U.S. conduct active shooter exercises. Wow. 2/3, 66% of schools conduct active shooter exercises, which means that they're practicing for an active shooter. Again, it's a scary thought to have to think about, but it's good that we're at least addressing it. I don't like to think about it. So in CV Unified, our school safety mission is CV Unified is committed to providing a safe learning environment to our students and staff through development of intervention and prevention professional development. We are committed to providing professional development to our staff so that we can pave the way to a safer, healthier learning environment for children and youth in our community. We are trying to stay on top of and get in front of any sort of trouble that we may have with intruders or just be safe on our campus. We take it very seriously to have safe schools, safe zones at our school. I know a lot of teachers, their classrooms are safe rooms or safe classes and safe zones. I know that, again, I used to try and open my classroom up to students during lunchtime or any opportunity I could to allow them a safe space. If that just simply meant come in and hang out during lunch, then that's what that meant. Or if they needed to get away because they felt like they were being bullied or they just wanted to come in and talk a little bit to me about whatever it is they're having some trouble with. I know a lot of students or some of my students would take me up on just coming in and speaking their mind or feeling like it was safe. It's very important that we build the class culture in our schools or in our classrooms of a safe place. And some of the ways that we can build that safe environment. We at CV Unified, again, are some of the three things that we're focusing on this year are positive behavior interventions and support, or PBIS, just restorative justice, and transformational learning. you know, the foundation for a positive school climate rests on the integration of academic, behavioral, and social and emotional approaches that address students' needs. You know, we are really trying to focus on meeting all students' needs, whatever that is, and really, again, I keep saying it, but just making our schools safe for our students, safe learning environments, and we really have to focus on that. So PBIS, what is it? Well, PBIS, again, it's positive behavioral or positive behavior intervention and support. What we are offering is a school-wide system of support for all students. Again, all students, we want to make sure that they're supported. It includes proactive strategies. Strategies that really work with the communities and the schools and the families, and there's a lot of training opportunities to really make sure that all the needs are addressed from all parties and to keep our schools safe. It supports the academic, social, emotional, and behavioral support. So again, it supports not just academics, not just social, not just emotional, but it also supports behavioral. So we put all of those together, and part of positive or PBIS, and that's a really nice package for being able to work with all of those. And what I like about that is we don't forget about the academics. The social, the emotional, the behavioral is important, but we also want our students to be academically sound, and we want them to, school is a place for learning and growing and bettering ourselves. And if we don't have social and emotional and behavioral support, the academics can really slide. PBIS creates positive school environments. So one of the things that we really try to do is focus on just having a positive environment. Instead of coming down on a student all the time or pointing out everything they do wrong, point out what they do right sometimes. Sometimes it's as simple as just paying attention, and you might even have to put little tally marks or find some sort of a way to hold yourself accountable to give positive feedback to the students. And that just goes in general. I mean, be kind to one another, when we give positive support or positive feedback, you'll be amazed at how quickly the negative actions and behaviors just disappear. Doesn't always fix it. Doesn't always mean that there's not a need for intervention. But, just a simple kind word to our students can go a long, long way. PBIS, it's a great strategy for building a multi-tiered approach for social, emotional, and behavioral support. Its broad purpose of the PBIS is to improve the effectiveness, efficiency, and equity of schools and other agencies. So, I read that right off of the PBIS website. It's, being able to improve schools is our number one goal here. So the second piece that we focus on here is, for building a positive school climate is the restorative justice. So restorative justice is a process where participants in a particular offense resolve collectively how to deal with the aftermath of an offense. So it's usually a restorative justice circle. You come together, you discuss the offense. It focuses on responsibility, repairing harm, healing, and community. And the community piece to that is really important because especially in our schools or in our classrooms, Restorative justice allows us to, is another way to help build community and how important community is in our classes. We need to be able to, again, if not anywhere else in our classrooms, our students need to feel safe. And part of that is building the community. And restorative justice is one way of helping that take place. It focuses on really making sure that the offense is accounted for, but it, even more importantly, it's for healing, it's for community and repairing that harm that was taken place. The third piece that we are focusing on here is in building a positive climate for our students is the transformational learning. And this is a culturally based framework that focuses on building on the natural opportunities, factors, and on what is healthy within an individual, family, community, or culture. And the framework has five pieces to it. The first piece is purpose. And purpose is based on individual, family, and community dignity. So focusing on the dignity of each person, their family, the community. Again, it comes back to that community, building in that community, and representing or respecting that community. The second piece is responsibility, based on respect for family and community and vision. The third piece to that is independence, based on individual, family, and community trust. So we have to have trust. Inside of the four walls of our classroom, our students need to know that they can trust us. And part of that is developing the culture and the community within your class. It's really, really important to build that community. I know I keep saying it. I sound like a broken record for this episode. I know, but it's really important. The fourth part of this is development, circular learning based on love for life. Being just enthusiastic about being alive. We should be excited to get up every day, to come to school, to again see our friends, work with our as teachers. We should feel blessed to be in the position that we're in to work with students, mold them, guide them, and just love life. Enthusiasm is the last piece number five to the framework, and living life with a sense of hope. If you don't have hope, what do you have? And everybody should have hope. Everybody has hope. Hope is every day can be a better day. And if you look at life as what happened yesterday is the past, and today is the day that we're going to move forward, and it's going to be a good day today. And if we can build those into our schools and a lot of times in our classes, we need to try and forget what happened yesterday. We need to have a short memory. And I know that it's not easy with some of our students. Sometimes, they just grade on you. I know I've had students that they just grade on me. But you know what? You've got to love them. You got to come, you've got to guide them. You've got to show them that you care. And the best way to do that is just show them respect and show them that, living life with a sense of hope or just loving life and respecting and honoring their community, just show them how important that really is. So those are the three strategies that we're trying to use here in our district in CV Unified, PBIS, Positive Behavior Intervention and Support, Restorative Justice, or RJ, and Transformational Learning. We're trying to use these to create a positive school climate for our students, and so that they feel safe, they feel like they can come to school and feel protected. And when they feel protected and when they feel safe that way, they can be free to learn, like we all should be. We all should be able to learn in a safe, positive place. And using these three strategies, we hope that to build that climate for our students, and hope that the climate is fostered for students to be able to succeed and to succeed well beyond our short time here with the CV Unified. So I'm going to transition into another topic that is being focused on today in our professional development. And that's bullying. Bullying these days is everywhere. It seems like everybody's talking about it, whether that's in the news or whether that's at school sites. It's unfortunately become just something people say. You're teasing with each other and, hey, stop bullying me. And some of that isn't fun, but it sort of takes away a little bit of the importance of being bullied at school. And, part of what we're going to do is just define what bullying is. What does bullying actually mean? What are the different kinds of bullying techniques? I guess if you want to say it that way. And what are some of the best practices for preventing those bullying? And just really kind of getting ahead, kind of like with our school safety techniques, just really getting ahead of what are the bullying, what's causing the bullying, and how can we prevent it, and how can we keep our students safe? So bullying, what is bullying? So bullying is an unwanted aggressive behavior among school-aged children that involves a real or perceived power imbalance, is repeated or has potential to be repeated over time. Bullying can include threats, rumors, physical or verbal attacks, and purposefully excluding someone from a group. It can be really hard to define bullying sometimes. And, some of the identifying factors are really hard to point out. When we're looking at aggressive behavior, is it just rough play? Are they just joking around? Are they just, is that the way they play? Or is it truly an imbalance of power? Or are they really being aggressive? Repetitive. Is it happening more than once? Repetitive means more than once. If it's a one-time occurrence, then it's not a repetitive occurrence. But if it happens more than that one time, now we're stepping into that repetition. And a power imbalance can change over time, right? And it can change depending on the situation. Sometimes the power imbalance is not as big, and sometimes in certain situations you can have a power imbalance that is huge, right? And it's the imbalance of power or lording over your size or your physicality or your intellect, or there can be a lot of different ways that there's a power imbalance or just bullying in general. And it's really important to be on the lookout for our students being bullied, and a lot of times, especially these days, it's become kind of just a fun little word to throw around. Bullying, and if you're getting teased on the playground, or if you're just being picked on in the office or something like that, some people will throw out, hey, stop bullying me. And that's not that's not a terrible thing. You know, we're just joking around, having a good time. But sometimes when we do that over and over and over again, the words stop to have the meaning that we want them to. So I would caution just being a little careful about just throwing the word bullying around in your classroom with your students, because it may kind of soften what the words actually mean when your students are in trouble. You know, of course, these days, one of the most common methods for bullying is cyberbullying. You know, cyberbullying, you know, our students are on their electronics all the time. You know, mobile devices are the number one form of communication for teens these days. And that's a discussion for a whole nother topic, whole nother podcast potentially. But, you know, our teens are people in general are just on their mobile devices constantly these days. And, you know, cyberbullying, is a very severe form of bullying, because a lot of people feel like they have that protection, that wall of protection behind their screen, and they can say things, they're a little bolder to say things that they wouldn't necessarily say in person. You know, if we really kind of think about it, one in three teens consider the internet as the most as important as air, water, food, and shelter. I mean, they're on it all the time. And part of the reason they're on it so much is hey, FOMO, fear of missing out, right? You know, just being on social media all the time, trying to really stay on track of what everybody is doing. And consequently, that's where a lot of the bullying can take place. You know, we have to really be part of the trouble with cyberbullying too, is it's really hard for us as educators, as protectors, as people who want to keep our students safe, to identify that, you know, because it happens at home or it happens on the go, or, you know, especially with mobile technology in our hand these days, you know, we have to, that's again, where building that relationship, building that community, building that trust with your students is so important, and having a safe place for them to come to when they feel like they have nowhere else to turn, they can turn to you. You know, that's, you know, that's super important in all of this, building that relationship with your students. You know, some of the bullying trends have stayed the same over years, right? Some things have not changed and some things have. The biggest thing that has changed is the cyberbullying and the cyber communication. But some things, like, you know, kids just seeking acceptance. We all, you know, want to feel accepted and feel liked and loved, and students, that hasn't changed. That's not going to change, you know, but sometimes that seeking acceptance it's causing people to be mean to each other. And again, the cyber part of this is really a place where our students are living, and things that haven't changed, you know, being mean to one another. Hey, you know, kids were mean to me growing up. I was mean to them probably growing up. Not a good thing, right? Not something I would be proud of course, today. But hey, kids are mean to each other, intentionally or unintentionally. But the way they're doing it, the way they're communicating with each other these days, we have to be extra vigilant against that. We really have to focus on protecting our students. You know, some of the impacts of bullying, you know, 56% of students have personally witnessed some type of bullying at our school. 56%. 71% of students report incidents of bullying as a problem in their school. That's way too much. 71% think that it's a problem in their school. And 90% of fourth through eighth graders report being victims of bullying. That's disgusting. 90% of fourth through sixth graders feel like they've been bullied. We need to get ahead of this. We need to stop it. We need to just build a culture at our schools where everybody feels accepted. And we've got to get away from this. You know, unfortunately, you know, this leads us into our last topic where suicide in our schools and suicide in our teens. You know, a lot of suicides come from bullying. Hey guys, I told you this was going to be a deep episode. You know, I don't like talking about this, but you know, we have to address it. We have to know what we're dealing with so that we can get ahead of it, so that we can stop it and we can protect our students and our young ones from any of this. And school bullying is a huge part of students wanting to or unfortunately even committing suicide these days. So that brings us to our final piece of this episode, suicide prevention. You know, it's trouble in our schools. And we need to really get ahead of this. And I know I keep saying that. I know I keep saying it, but we really need to focus on relationships with our students. So just kind of to wrap this up a little bit, you know, I want to talk a little bit about what we can do to help our students feel more protected and feel more loved to the point where they don't feel like they want or need to take the ultimate way out. You know, it's all about being aware with our students, you know, being aware of what they are going through, being aware of just the troubles that they have as teens. I mean, I'm sure you can remember just as much as I can the craziness that was going on in my brain as a teenager, and trying to navigate that now in the digital age with bullying and everything else that's really amped up. I mean, that's gotta be tough. You know, so there's a bill, AB Assembly Bill 2246. If you want to look that up, or if you just want to look in the show notes and, you'll see it there. And it's an assembly bill that addresses bullying, or addresses suicide prevention, and really just focuses on trying to help students prevent them from taking the ultimate, bad decision. You know, some of the do's for, you know, that we as educators want to do with our students is, you know, we just want to show them that they care or that we care. You know, we want to show them, again, it's just a common theme throughout this whole thing. Show our students we care about them. You know, take everything seriously. You know, if a student is, you know, telling you that they're considering suicide, take it seriously. It's not a joke. It's not something that we need to joke around with, you know. Get them help. If they ask about suicide, get them help. Get them, you know, to a counselor. Get them whatever help that they need, because it's not a joke. You know, we have to make sure that our students are safe. You know, some of the things that we never want to do. If a student comes to us and is telling us that they're thinking about suicide, we don't want to act shocked. Just kind of take it in stride the best that you can. And I mean, it's a shocking thing, right? But we want to be aware of it, but we don't want to overreact. We don't want to again, part of what we want to do is take everything seriously, but we don't want to overreact or act shocked to the point where it scares the students off so that they don't want to come back and talk about it anymore. You know, we don't want to sensationalize suicide. We don't want to dismiss it or just, you know, again, we want to make sure that we take every report seriously. We don't want to promise secrecy or confidentiality. That is super, super important. You know, if a student comes to you and they ask you, you know, they're more than likely they're going to ask you to keep it quiet, and you can't. You know, if a student's life is in danger, you have to say something to a professional. You have to get them professional help, whether that's psychological help, whether that is just suicide prevention help. You cannot keep it secret to yourselves. That is doing the students a disservice. You really just have to make sure that everything is taken seriously, because, you know, today they may be joking, tomorrow they may not be. Some of the risk factors for suicide, you know, that are important to recognize are, previous suicide attempts, a history of substance abuse or physical disability or illness, losing a friend or a family member to suicide, that's big, some mental health issues, relationship problems, especially for some of our teens in middle and high school, when they have relationship issues, that can cause all kinds of trouble in their brain. And we really want to make sure that we're taking those seriously. So some of the protective factors that we can use with our students is again, just giving our students a sense of community, giving them a safe place, a safe school, closeness, caring with friends, connected to other non-parental adults, right? That's where we come in. A lot of our students, they spend more time with us than they do with their own parents. And we need to be that place where they feel safe to be able to escape or to share, academic achievements. A lot of times when students have academic achievements or they're just successful in school, they are less likely to feel depressed. Depression is a serious thing. And when you feel like you're good at something or you've accomplished something academically or even socially or emotionally, it can make the world for these students. And just teaching students to be overall resilient, to take everything and just be resilient with life. And every day is a blessing and worth living. And it's kind of like we talked about earlier, staying current and staying today and having a short-term memory. If there is a student does come to you with talking about suicide or feeling like they want to just kind of end it all, there are preventative measures. There's a hotline that you can have the students call. It's 1-800-273-TALK, TALK. Again, 1-800-273-TALK. And that's a suicide prevention hotline. And there's others on the other end of that phone that are trained to work with students, to work with teachers, to work with individuals for helping them, to talking them down from that ledge, so to speak. And it's something that we have a CVUSD suicide prevention reference guide. If anybody needs it, you can check today's trainings at your school sites, or you can always reach out to me and I have a copy of it. You can check my show notes here today for a lot of this information. It was a little bit longer episode than some of my previous ones, but it's just such an important topic to talk about: our school safety, building that community at our schools, keeping our students safe. And if we get nothing else out of today's episode, I encourage you to really be intentional about focusing on your community in your classroom and community at your school. Be intentional about building relationships with your students so that they know that they have a safe place to go. They know that if they're having any kind of trouble, they can go to you and you're safe. If you don't know how to build that community in your school or your classroom, reach out to me. We can do it together. I want to help with this. I want to be an avenue of support for you. If there's any way I can do that, you know, our students' safety and mental health is way too important for us to ignore these days. And please, my contact information is attached to the show notes. If you need to get a hold of me, you can always email me or contact me. Thanks for listening. I really appreciate it. Again, it was a deeper topic today. I hope to bring something fun and exciting next time, but thanks again, and until next time. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Carnes Connection, where teaching connects with technology for student success. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast on Apple iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Don't forget to leave me a review and tell me what you think. You can find me on Twitter at Carnes Connect or follow the hashtag Carnes Connection. Until next time, this is Brian Carnes, and may your teaching be inspirational and your connections be eternal. Bye for now.